Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 44 of season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Todd Liebenow of the Forgotten Filmcast. Welcome back to the show once again, Todd.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, so always fun having you on. Always a pleasure. So minute 44 begins with the mayor's wife interjecting and ends with Warren once again in charge. So basically we have this whole conversation between the various the five men in the room and the one woman trying to figure out what they should do. Should they give up the give up the $1 million or do something else? And they can't really come to any real conclusion. And Warren then basically makes the decision for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
Yep, he's a take charge kind of guy.
Yes, he is. And at the beginning of this minute, so the mayor's wife, Jessie, interjects and goes, "He means the voters." And the response that she gets from Al is he coughs once again. And then he goes, "You know what they're going to say? The Times is going to support you. The News is going to knock you. The Post will take back both sides. Will take both sides at the same time. The rich will support you. Likewise, the blacks and the Puerto Ricans won't give a shit. So come on, Al, quit stalling." So I mean, we see that Warren really has his finger on everything that's going on. Now,
yeah.
I love the fact that in this small little blurb, he's able to mention three leading New York newspapers. And tell us their slants on everything right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to go a little bit into the history of New York newspapers.
Okay.
So when do you think the very first New York newspaper was introduced?
Oh, it's got to be back a long time. I mean, like late 1700s, I'm thinking.
It's actually the early 1700s, in 1725. Oh, wow. So exactly 300 years ago, this year, the first New York newspaper was the New York Gazette.
Okay.
It was founded by William Bradford, and it was a weekly publication that primarily featured news from England alongside local items and advertisements. Now, it makes me wonder, how were they actually giving information about England? Because it must have been like months old.
Oh, yeah. Forget the 24-hour news cycle. This is the two-month news cycle.
We were talking about the 20-minute news cycle. This is maybe 2 months if you're lucky. Yeah. You know, but the news coming over on a boat. Which makes sense of why he would only do it every week from that perspective.
Absolutely.
Yes. Then during the 18th century, they had other newspapers that opened up called the New York Mercury and the New York Journal. Then in 1835, you had the New York Herald, which was founded by James Gordon Bennett. And basically, he was the pioneer of the penny press, which helped make news more accessible to a wider audience. And he introduced modern journalism techniques such as interviews, nonpartisan political reporting, and foreign correspondence. So I guess in 1835, it was a little easier to have a little more information about what's going on outside of the colonies.
Nonpartisan political reporting, something that doesn't exist anymore.
That's long and buried also.
Yeah.
Yes. Then in 1841, they opened up the New York Daily Tribune, which was founded by Horace Greeley.
I know that name. Yep.
Yes. and it became a prominent voice in American journalism, known for its reformist stance and the extensive coverage of national and international affairs. Then in 1851, a new newspaper was opened up called the New York Times. It was founded by Henry Jarvis Raymond and George Jones. And their aim was to offer serious, reliable news and to avoid the sensationalism of penny papers. Don't know if that really worked, but okay.
Like, while you're just jumping back a second, I was curious because you mentioned Horace Greeley, and I was like, is that who Greeley, Colorado, out here is named for? And it is. So yeah, one of our cities here on the Front Range is Greeley, Colorado, and it's named for Horace Greeley.
Very nice. Very nice. So Horace Greeley was born in 1811 and passed away in 1872 at the age of 61. As we said, he was the founder and editor of the New York Tribune.
He was the one that said had the whole "Go West, young man" thing.
Yes.
So that's probably why they named the city in Colorado for him.
Right. Did you know he was a presidential candidate?
I think I did know that. Yes.
Against Ulysses S. Grant in 1872, and he lost by a landslide. And he actually died just like 2 weeks after the election.
Wow.
Because the election was in 1872. He died on November 29th, 1872. So.
So just like, yeah, really short time later, you know.
Yeah, he actually helped William Henry Harrison win in 1840. Again, another person who didn't live very long after the election. But I'm actually very interested in understanding. He was the presidential nominee for the Liberal Republicans Party. He had the support also of the Democrats, and he still lost.
Hmm.
His wife died 5 days before the election, and he died less than a month later. Wow, that's just like, that's someone, I guess you could say, whose heart was broken by the whole thing. I mean, this,
no kidding. You
know, both by his wife's passing and also the fact that he lost in a landslide. Interesting. I'm even more curious about what they say happened to him. So his wife, Mary, returned ill from a trip to Europe in June. And in October, her condition worsened, and he actually stopped campaigning on October 12th. In order to be with her. She died on October 30th, and he then was plunged into depression and despair, obviously. Actually, I wouldn't call this necessarily vote-wise a landslide. He received 2.8 million votes, and Grant got 3.5. So we're not talking that much, but Grant was able to secure 286 electors, and Greeley got 66.
Mm.
He won only six states out of the 37 at the time: Georgia, Kentucky, Maryland, Missouri, Tennessee, and Texas. Then he went back to the editorship of the Tribune, but soon heard that they were trying to oust him. And he had trouble sleeping at that point. And then a week after the election, he started receiving medical care. And he was sent to an asylum in Pleasantville, New York. And his condition worsened, and he ended up dying on November 29th.
Hmm.
So he died even before the Electoral College put out their ballots. So his 66 electoral votes were divided among four other candidates. Interesting.
Yeah.
He requested a simple funeral, but his daughters decided to make a grand affair at the Church of the Divine Paternity, where he was a member. He was interned in Brooklyn's Greenwood Cemetery. President Grant even was part of his was part of the people who showed up for his funeral. So I guess Grant still had the forethought to show up for something like that, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it says here the town of Greeley, Colorado, is named after Horace Greeley. Very interesting. You were right about that. So yeah, we got off on a really big tangent there, but so the New York Post was founded in 1801 by Alexander Hamilton, and it is the oldest continuously published daily newspaper in the U.S. So okay, so we mentioned the New York Times. We mentioned the New York Post. What about the New York, the Daily News? That you see, whenever I think of Daily News, I think of Billy Joel.
Yeah, no, that's the first thing that came to my mind too.
Yes. Have you seen
the New York Times, the Daily News?
Daily News. Have you seen the
documentary, the HBO documentary?
Yes.
I haven't watched it yet. No, it's like a two-parter, I think. But yeah, haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
I highly recommend it.
I did watch a different music one. Actually, just yesterday, I watched the one that's on Netflix about Devo. And I thought that was really good, too. I was like, just kind of clued me into some things about Devo that I was not familiar with at all. I found it really interesting.
Okay, I'm trying to even think if I know who Devo is.
You know, Whip It, you know, dun, 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 dun. When a good time comes along, you must whip it. You know, they've got
what was the name of the
it's just called Devo, that's the name of the documentary. Sorry. But yeah, it just popped up on Netflix within the last couple of weeks here.
Interesting. I'll have to take a look at that because I like musical documentaries. Even mm-hmm. for some of the okay, I understand why I didn't find it. I misspelled Devo. I spelled it D-I-V-O instead of D-E-V-O.
Oh, D-E-V-O, yeah. That's what in one of their songs. We are Devo. D-E-V-O. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It was formed in response to the 1970 Kent State shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
One of the things I was not aware of until I watched that movie.
All right. So I will have to check this out. I will I'll let you know what I think.
All right.
I'm assuming I will try and find. I will watch it in the next few days. If you're saying it's available, so there you go. Mm. Actually, it's from last year. It's not even from now.
Yeah. I was surprised by that too. I thought it was this year, but apparently it debuted last year. But it only just hit Netflix here recently. So, but it's you know, a Netflix doc is the way they're promoting it, so I think it showed up at some film festivals last year, but just hit the streaming here in the last little bit.
Right. Yeah. So the last one that we were looking for is the New York Daily News. So it was it was originally published in New York in between 1855 and 1906, and then they changed it to just the Daily News in 1919. It's actually based in New Jersey, not in New York, even though it's called the New York Daily News.
Just like the New York Giants were.
it's the New York's hometown newspaper, Daily News. Yes. It was the first U.S. daily printed in tabloid format. And it reached its circulation in 1947. And it is now the 11th highest circulated newspaper in the U.S. So, okay. Interesting. Right. So Warren really knows what he's talking about when he's talking about all the different newspapers here. And then Al screams out, "Will you stop bullying everyone, Warren? This is supposed to be a democracy. Wise up, for Christ's sake. We're trying to run a city, not a goddamn democracy. Al, quit farting around. We've got to pay." And then he looks at his wife, "Jesse? Jesse, what do you say? I know $1 million sounds like a lot of money, but just think what you'll get, what you're going to get in return. What? 18 sure votes." All right.
Which is all not right, totally Jesse. True. Because there are two kids on the subway, so 16 at best.
That's true. All right, Warren. Warren, arrange for the payoff. Hallelujah. All right, fellas, you heard him. Phil, pass the word to the bad guys that we're coughing up. Sid, what bank do you do business with? And Warren just starts, like, rushing them out of here. Mm-hmm. The City National Trust. I'll give him a call. And he goes, I'll call. He'll take an hour trying to knock down, and he gets cut off with what he's about to say. But
half of one of my favorite lines probably from the movie. I love that bit with, yeah, you'll take an hour trying to knock down the interest rate. But
well, there are a lot of great lines in this movie.
Oh, there's a lot of great ones. But yeah, I love that one. One thing too about this that I think is funny, you know, this whole thing about the 18 sure votes. Okay. The idea that the mayor finally makes his decision based on getting votes. One of my favorite movies of all time, of course, is Ghostbusters. And the same thing happens in Ghostbusters. They have the meeting with the mayor and, you know, they're going back and forth about all the different things. And Bill Murray starts talking to him and says, "But if I'm right and we can do this, Lenny, you will have saved the lives of millions of registered voters." And that's what kind of makes the mayor change his mind and go along with what the Ghostbusters are suggesting. So
that's right.
Of course, there it's millions of voters. Here it's 18. And again, yes. 16 at best. So, I don't
know. The cops will vote.
I mean, I suppose, how much money do you think candidates spend per voter nowadays? You know, I guess could be a million divided by 16. I don't know.
Right. True. And once again, you know, we get to see that Warren is really the brains behind everything that's going on, and he's the one pushing things forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Tony Roberts is great in this movie.
He is. I mean, it's not the type of role that I associate with him most. I mean, I tend to think of him in, you know, like he's in a lot of Woody Allen movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit, it doesn't always come across as the strongest kind of take charge type of guy like he is in this movie. So, you know, this is a little atypical, I think, for Tony Roberts. Mm-hmm. On one of the episodes of my show recently, we did kind of a different style episode of what we normally do, where I actually was just myself and I talked about four films that I kind of had on my watch list that I hadn't gotten around to watching, or that I'd suggested to folks to do on a show, and no guests would take me up on them. And one was a movie that Tony Roberts was in, was called Star Spangled Girl. And it's basically it's a Neil Simon play for the big screen. But he's in it with Sandy Duncan and such. And he's good at it, but it's much more the type of role I associate with Tony Roberts.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that. Is it worth checking out?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't think it's fantastic, but it's got some good things about it. I mentioned this on my podcast, but the thing that was the wildest about this movie for me is that it has a title song. The song is simply called Girl, and it's sung by Davy Jones of the Monkees. And it's that song is famously used in an episode of The Brady Bunch, the one that Davy Jones guest stars on. Yeah. And so, you know, I didn't realize that song is originally from this movie. And you know, they used it then in that Brady Bunch episode, and then likewise they used it in the Brady Bunch movie as well. So
Right, which sort of makes sense
yeah,
because it is,
well, and technically what I discussed this on the show as well, the this movie that the song is from actually came out about like a week and a half after that Brady Bunch episode aired. So it was actually a bit of cross promotion there, I guess. But
Wow,
you know,
interesting.
even though the song was from the movie, technically the first place audiences would have heard it was in that Brady Bunch episode, and then the movie came out like a week and a half later. So
Oh, that's great. I love that piece of trivia. That's really interesting.
yeah. But now I know that after I've mentioned that movie, now Rob's going to go watch that movie, because that's what always happens. Once I record with Rob and random movies come up in the discussion and Rob hasn't seen it, the next thing I know, I see a tweet that says that Rob watched this movie. So I know how it works.
Is that a bad thing?
No, not at all. I commend you for that kind of you know, that attitude
I'm
on
always on
things.
the lookout. I'm always on the lookout for things I haven't seen. And when you
Absolutely.
mention
That's
something that's interesting, I say, okay, I'm gonna go seek that out and see what it's all about.
yeah. That's the name of the
And
game.
when I remember, I actually, tag you in it also. So why not? All right. So, did you have anything else you wanted to add about this particular episode?
No, I think we got it.
All right. So we have reached the trivia part of this week. So today's segment is a trivia game
All right.
that is officially called the 70s Movie Potpourri Trivia Game, where I
Okay.
will randomly choose five trivia questions about movies that came out in the 1970s, and we're going to test Todd's knowledge of these movies. So I'm
Okay.
going
All
to
right.
spin the wheel, and we'll see what comes up.
Okay.
So the first question that we have for Todd. Okay. In the movie Love Story from 1970, Jenny tells Oliver that love means never having to blank.
Oh, I know this. It's Say You're Sorry.
Excellent. There you go.
Yes. So
Perfect.
I was like, I didn't want to act too quick there. I got to think this through, but okay. All right, good.
Love never means never having to say you're sorry.
Now here, I mean, talking about, you know,
Being married
obscure
for 15
movies.
years, that's not true. But whatever.
Yes.
It only works when you're newlyweds and she's dying.
But that made me think, because we were talking about obscure movies, which, you know, we do on my show all the time. But there is a sequel to Love Story.
I've seen
Are you
it,
aware
Oliver's
of the,
Story.
yeah, Oliver's Story. Oh, yeah.
I've seen
So,
it.
like, I haven't seen that. So.
I'm trying to remember if I liked it. I'm trying to remember which of the, no, I'm trying to remember which of them I liked better, because I do like the original Love Story. I think it's a good movie. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's a little overrated. Let's see what we got about that. Mean, Oliver's Story is with Candice Bergen. She plays
Right.
his lover in that movie. So I basically rated them both the same. So I can't tell you that I like one more than the other. Obviously I've seen Oliver's Story more recently than I saw that. And there are a lot fewer people who've seen Oliver's Story than Love Story.
That's a forgotten film for sure.
That is definitely a forgotten film, but they do the flashbacks are really weird. Hey, Kenneth MacMillan's in it.
Oh, there we go. So you play a cop?
I know he plays Jamie Francis. I don't remember who Jamie Francis is, but that's
Right.
just really funny. All right, so So let us spin the wheel again and see if Todd gets another easy question.
All right.
All right. Okay. In what 1975 movie does a man return to his office from lunch and finds all of his coworkers dead?
1975 movie returns to his office from lunch to find his coworkers dead. It is not coming to me. I don't have this one.
Okay, it's a thriller. Does that help?
Not really. I kind of figured it was a thriller, but no, I don't have it.
Okay, it's a political thriller. Has that does that help at all?
No.
Okay. What other hints can I give you? Faye Dunaway is in this movie.
The Thomas Crown Affair?
No, that's 68.
That's what I was like.
It was directed by Sidney Pollack.
No, I don't have it. I don't know.
Also includes. I'm still not giving you the main actor, but the cast also includes Cliff Robertson, Max von Sydow, John Houseman. And let's see what other names here would jump out. Yeah, I don't see any other names here that.
No, I'm still.
Hey, Russell Johnson's in it. He's got a small part. He's uncredited small part as the intelligence officer at a briefing. For anyone who didn't get it, because I know that Todd did because he's laughing, Russell Johnson was the professor on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. I still don't have this.
Okay, so I will give you the name of the main actor. Maybe that'll help you. Robert Redford.
Robert Redford. Is it? Is that the Condor? What is that called?
Yes.
Three Days of the Condor?
Yes, 3 Days of the Condor.
I have not seen that one. Okay. All right.
Well, yeah. It's not a spoiler because it happens at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Let us spin the wheel again for the next one. Let's see what Todd gets now. Okay, this is going to be a little easy one, but okay. In the 1973 film Soylent Green, Charlton Heston's detective character discovers that Soylent Green is actually what?
It's people! I was afraid it was going to be something more complicated because, I mean, I've seen Soylent Green, but I've only seen it once. And so it's not like every little detail of it is in my mind. But I do know that Soylent Green is people.
There you go.
I knew that before I saw the movie, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well,
I think most people do nowadays.
Wasn't that like in The Naked Gun or something like that? They were screaming. No, in The Naked Gun, the guy screams, it's a cookbook. About the Twilight Zone episode.
Oh, yeah.
How to serve men.
How to serve men.
Yes. Okay, let's spin the wheel again for your fourth trivia question today. Ooh, you just missed this thing. Just passed this thing. Okay, in the 1979 film 10, what hairstyle did Bo Derek make famous?
Oh, it's get the name right. Cornrows, is that what they're looking for?
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, All right.
You're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't complain about that. All right. And now we will go to your final trivia question. Let's spin the wheel and see what's gonna come out for Todd. What film contains the characters named, among others, Veruca Salt, Violet Beauregard, Augustus Gloop, and Arthur Slugworth?
That is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
That is correct. Excellent.
I almost said Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but that's not the 70s version. The 70s version is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
But I would have given you credit if you would have said Charlie. That's fine.
Well, we'll hold off for the remake game on that one, I guess. We'll see.
I don't even know if it's listed on it is not listed, so you don't have
to. Oh.
Yeah. I had to limit how many I could put on the list. Okay, so let us. Well, first of all, thank you very much for playing the trivia game.
I at least did okay, so I'm pleased.
You did very well. You got 4 out of 5 off the bat, and the fifth one you got eventually with some hints. So there you go. All right, so now we will play the daily game of Name That Remake. I'm going to spin the wheel, and we'll see what remake we're going to have for Todd right now. And the wheel spins around and spins around.
Eliminate Willy Wonka. We know it's not that.
Okay, the original came out in 1990, and the remake came out in 2017.
Wow.
All right. And it is a movie about a group of medical students who decide to do some very experimental testing on themselves.
Oh, okay. Flatliners.
That's correct.
Okay. I have not seen that remake. I've seen the original many, many times, but
yeah, you're not missing anything by not seeing the remake of that one. I'm not a fan of that remake. I'm not a fan of remakers in general, but that one, no.
I'm not opposed to remakes, but sometimes it's kind of fun.
Yes, it's kind of fun, but it's rare to find remakes that are better than the originals. You can find them every so often, but it's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare. All right. So would you like to, once again, Todd, tell people where they can find Todd Liebenow?
Of course. So the podcast is called The Forgotten Filmcast. You'll find that wherever you find your podcasts. The blog is at forgottenfilmcast.wordpress.com. We're on all the various social media outlets. Search for at Forgotten Films, film spelled with a Z. And then just search for my name, Todd Liebenow, on Letterboxd. Follow me there.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie on Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieonminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieonminute@movierob.net. So, Todd, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to finish off the week?
I mean, we might as well, we've come this far. We gotta finish it off.
We're gonna be able to leave the confines of Gracie Mansion once again. So
there you go. Yeah.
All right. So until tomorrow, achoo.
Gesundheit.